Let's go back in time to 1932 as Converse brings you historic footage of the legendary original Celtics with whom all great professional teams are compared.
We have now taken over your radio.
Richie Guerin is about to show you the most important step in getting past a man. It's the first one.
And Oscar will inbound it. The men in green, the Milwaukee Bucks, that's Al Cinder against Bellamy.
Has Jordan. Allen shakes free. Gets two.
Gilmore.
Oh, big stop.
Oh,
brother.
Lead Toledo artist. You get 21.
4:28 to go in the first quarter for the Cal Palace. Here's Barry.
Jordan. Open. Chicago with the lead.
Hello and welcome back to the Over and Back Classic NBA Podcast. I am Jason Mann. With me as always is Rich Kreich, and we are going to talk about the top 50 case for Mr. Big Shot, Chauncey Billups. He is 43rd all-time in win shares, 46th in win shares per 48, 83rd in box score plus minus, 56th in value over replacement player. He has one all-NBA second team, two times on the third team, two times on the all-defensive second team. He has six seasons in the top 10 in win shares per 48, one in the top 10 in value over replacement player. He is the 2004 Finals MVP. He is sixth all-time in free throw percentage and seventh all-time in three-pointers made. He is not in the Bill Simmons Book of Basketball Pyramid of 96 players, but he is 124th in the Slam 500. And, you know, he has a reputation for being a great clutch player. He led his teams to the conference finals for seven seasons in a row. Despite having a slow start to his career, he did have he played well into his mid to late 30s. I think more of Chauncey Billups' top 50 case than you do. But I do think when you kind of compare him to some of the other contemporaries of his career, I actually do think that I think there's a case. It's an uphill battle, maybe. But yeah. I do think there's a case.
No, I'm starting to see the light a little here. I doing a little bit more research of him, like really looking at him, looking at his peers, looking at all time, you know, ranks as, in terms of a guard and especially as a point guard. He's, you know, he makes a damn good case. Like I think initially, like if I said, hey, Chauncey Billups is one of the top 50 players of all time, I think a lot of people would probably say no, or they'd have to kind of think about it and go, nah, I don't know necessarily, but you know, 50 is, you know, a very small amount of all time players in the NBA. And I don't know if Chauncey is right away there, but I mean, you really look at it and you look at what he was able to do and how productive he was and look at how, you know, that he was able to do that in, you know, basically having the first, you know, part of his career, not the first half, but, you know, the first maybe quarter of his career or a third of his career, just kind of being an absolute nothing and then just exploding in that last part to get to where he got to there's a fun in that as well. But yeah, as I'm kind of growing a little bit more and looking at this and looking at him and researching and going through this process, he's a guy that I don't know. I think I could start seeing the light or see that you can make a reasonable case for him.
Yeah. And, I think if he had just been able to kind of hold on, like he got hurt at age 35, or it was either when he was with the Knicks at age 34 or when he went with the Clippers. I forget. Maybe it was twice that he got hurt, but basically
I thought it was both years, if I remember correctly. I could be wrong though, but I thought there was like something, he came back and then he got hurt again and it was like, ah, crap, you know?
Yeah. he was part of the Carmelo Anthony trade to the Knicks, and I don't know, maybe if he'd been able to stay in Denver and have a couple more years there, because he was kind of in that trade for salary purposes. He didn't really want to leave and they didn't really want to trade him, but they were kind of forced to based on the merits of that trade. And then, you know, he went to the Clippers and got hurt and then tried to come back, but he was like 34, 35 at that point. If he had just been able to have like three more seasons of being of like similar production to what he had, I think he had the skills where he would have aged fine. I mean, he was a good size for point guard. He could shoot pretty well. I think if he'd just been able to kind of hold on, I would say that he has a very good case. I still think there is a case, but it is, there are so many great point guards, as we talked about. We've talked about,
you know, obviously Jason Kidd, Steve Nash, Gary Payton, you know, he's probably behind those guys. I think he's kind of in the Kevin Johnson category of, you know, being, you know, he's around that area in terms of the tier.
Sure. Real quickly here, here's how he compares, you know, error in position and position all time. And now, mind you, this is just guards in general. This isn't just strictly point guards. So I think this actually does, you know, is another notch in his resume, is that this is guards all time, and you'll see how high he ranks here. Error in position, he's fifth in win shares, 19th in win shares per 48, and then fifth in value over replacement players. So I think that's yeah. really, really good numbers.
Rich, you said 19th, but you've written here 9th in win shares per 48.
Did I for Chauncey Billups? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm reading the right. Wow. Unbelievable. I read Paul Pierce is 5th, 19th, and 5th.
Ah, there you go.
So I was actually in the wrong line. So sorry. We in our Google. You're all correct. He is 9th in win shares per 48. Wow. They're both 5th. Okay. Sorry about that. Yes. 5th in win shares, 9th in win shares per 48, and then 11th in value over replacement player. There we go. There's the right list there. Okay. And then position all time. So this is guards all time. 14th in win shares, 16th in win shares per 48, and then 19th in value over replacement player. So when I looked at that, that was really like an eye-opening thing of like, that's not just point guards. That's guards, you know, all time. If you slim that down to point guards, you're looking at arguably, you know, advanced stats-wise, in terms of these advanced stats that we're looking at, a guy who's probably in the top 5 of all-time point guards in terms of these things, and that's insane. Like, I don't think of Chauncey Billups as that, but, you know, maybe I'm wrong. I mean, no, I'm maybe I need to start doing that, because he's maybe has a case there. I mean, he was a really – his peak is really, really, really awesome, and it's such a shame that the end, as you said, there was, like, you know, 3 years where he was just kind of middling there, and then like whatever the 3 or 4 years at the beginning of his career that were really nothing. You really wonder that, hey, if this guy was able to, you know, maybe it took him a year or two, and we've mentioned on this podcast before, it takes point guards a while to sort of get going, so I'll excuse that. But like you said, I think maybe the bigger thing is perhaps that his fall was just kind of like he went from being the guy to, you know, the Chauncey Billups we know to just a shell of his former self, and he's out of the league. You know, in 3 years he went from being a productive part of a really good team to just kind of being a nothing, and that hurts a lot, I think. But I he's got a case. He absolutely does.
Yeah, and I would wager that, you know, in terms of greatest defensive point guards of all time, you know, he's, you know, there's Kidd and Payton and Clyde Frazier, and I think he would probably be like at the next like level. You know, I mean, he would be kind of third or fourth within that tier of guys, you know, without having done a lot of video study, just kind of going by a reputation or, you know, what I have seen or what I know, that would kind of
and given the rules as well. And I think that's an important thing too, is that you look at a guy in the post hand check era NBA that was able to be as good of a defender. I mean, it's, you know, it's one thing for Gary Payton to just basically front a guy by, you know, as they pass the half court line. I mean, Billups wasn't able to do that and was still able to just be an elite point guard against, you know, he's not really a physically imposing guy either, against, you know, a new crop of NBA players that are more physical, more, you know, bigger, stronger, taller. I mean, the era of point guards now, it's, you know, athletically and physically are just so much of a bigger mess than guys had to deal with early, you know, in prior years. And Billups was able to still, as you mentioned, be one of those top, you know, 3 or 4, 5 all-time defensive point guards. And I don't think that's crazy to say that. And yeah, he's got a great case. I mean, he really, really does. I people might kind of laugh at it and scoff at it, but when you really look at it, yeah, he's there. I mean,
yeah, I would say the only thing that kind of hurts him a bit is the field goal percentage is pretty low. Yeah. For a guy with a good reputation as a shooter, I mean, you know, if you just kind of had bumped that, if you've been able to bump that up maybe a little bit, that would help. I was trying to look and see if I could look at the years that exclude like the early part of his career to see if there's anything that's significantly different there. If that is, you know, if that, because it looks like the numbers are, I guess they're not that far off of his career. Lines that I look at, he had a couple years where he's kind of in the mid 40s, but for the most part, for his you know, the field goal percentage was not strong. He was a good 3-point shooter, he was a good free throw shooter excellently. I guess
great just, shooter,
for whatever reason the 2-point percentage wasn't quite as strong, but I think we've hashed that pretty well. I mean, I think he's definitely a contender, but with just so many great point guards, it's going to be tough. But I, you know, he'll definitely be, he's definitely on our possible list. So
yeah, I think it'd be crazy not to have him on there. So I'm with you.
All right, cool. Well, everyone, thanks for checking us out and checking out all of our top 50 episodes. We enjoy doing it, and we appreciate people who have been keeping up with us and giving us feedback, and we continue to do so if you would like. We're on Twitter and Facebook at Over and Back NBA. We are harborparoxysm.com, where all our podcasts are posted. You can leave comments in the post there. We also have overandbacknba.com, which is our forums, where you can talk about any of these players or anything else that related to basketball history. We'd love to have more people contribute to the conversation there, even though we've got a nice little community started who are people who are contributing. We really appreciate that. And you can find us on iTunes. Both the Over and Back podcast and the HP Network feed have iTunes feeds. So if you want to subscribe to that and leave a rating or review, we would appreciate that. And we also have a new newsletter, the Over and Back NBA History Newsletter. It comes out every week, and it talks about things that are going on in NBA history, links to articles and podcasts and all that good stuff. So our stuff and what other people are doing as well. So appreciate a subscription if you're into that. So thanks, everyone, for listening. Until next time, goodbye.